Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from the third chapter, beginning at verse 7. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these very stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord. One Christmas season, several decades ago, a group of friends and I got together, and we wanted to do something altruistically minded. And so we helped raise $700 and went shopping for Christmas gifts for a young mother and her two children. We were so excited, one, that we had raised that amount of money, and two, that we could shop until we dropped. So off we went with their sizes and favorite colors in mind to make this the Christmas of the century for them. When we were done, we had four huge garbage bags full of toys. We were so excited and could not wait to deliver them. Finally, on Christmas Eve, all of us went to this mother's home, rang her doorbell, and with great enthusiasm ushered in these huge bags of toys wrapped just for the children. Her children were thrilled. They jumped around and screamed and hollered as they had never seen this many toys in one place ever. And all of them were for them. The mother thanked us for the gifts, but I could sense that she was not as excited as the children or even as we had hoped she would be. Several weeks later, I found out that she had kept a few of the toys and then returned the rest to the store. What we did not appreciate at the time was that this mother was in great need. It took everything in her to maintain a home for her children, to put food on the table, to keep a roof over their heads and clothes on their backs. Four huge garbage bags of toys was a luxury she could not afford. But several hundred dollars would address the needs of her family and that they had and make a difference in their lives for quite a while. I've thought about that over and over these many years. Our hearts were in the right place. We wanted to share the joy of the Christmas season with this family. However, what we didn't understand is that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is often fleeting. The children would have been happy until the last toy broke, or they became bored with it, or discarded it for the next best and shiniest thing. Happiness is also based upon circumstances, and it is usually determined by wants and gains. So if one bowl of vanilla ice cream will make me happy, then many more bowls will make me hilarious. Joy, on the other hand, joy is lasting. It is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is experienced through needs rather than wants and is often grounded in gratitude. The mother and her children needed the money more than they needed $700 worth of toys. And I found out after the fact that she, in her joy, had come back to the church and had made a donation from what she received, so that that joy might be shared and she might express her gratitude. There is a difference between happiness and joy. When I read today's gospel story, it seemed to me that John the Baptist was preparing the people to experience joy in a whole new way. Many of them had been living their lives in the hope of being saved by their privilege. They were descendants of Abraham, and they believed that the promises God made to Abraham to be their God, and that Abraham and his descendants would be God's people, would be automatic and would just be passed on from one generation to the next. All they had to do was worship God and love the Lord. But John warned them that God is able to raise up children out of stones. So instead of living for themselves, sometimes at the expense of those around them, he told them to turn their lives around and live as one worthy of being called a child of God. The prophet Micah said, "The Lord required that we love mercy, practice justice, and walk humbly with God." Most probably, the people there before John had practiced and walked humbly with God their whole lives and felt that was all that was needed. Rather than focus on their wants, John told them to focus on what was needed. To the person with two coats, give away one, so that someone who had nothing would have something. To the person with plenty of food, give some away to someone who is hungry. To the person that had been gaining wealth through stealing, collect only what the law required. To the person that had been using their authority to shake down and blackmail others, stop and be content with what you had. Each person could probably justify to the next what they were doing in some way or other. Some might say they were not as bad as the other person. Maybe what they were doing was not as wrong as someone else. But to all of them, John urged them to turn their lives around so that they were focused not simply on what they wanted, but on what was needed, mercy and justice. And not solely because they were trying to escape punishment, but because they were children of God. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, what our world would look like if each person who loved and walked humbly with God also focused not simply on what they wanted in life, but on what was needed, by doing what is merciful and practicing what is just. Imagine the sacrifices that would have to be made. Imagine the joys that would be experienced because of it. Sometimes when we think of change, it's easy to focus on change that we believe needs to happen around us, outside of us, the change that this or that person needs to make in order to make the world a better place. But change actually begins when we take a look in the mirror, when we begin to seek to wonder what needs to change within us. What would our lives look like if we were focused on mercy and justice? What would change in us look like? What would change around us be like? What would stay the same? How would it be lasting? John the Baptist understood that what he was offering was the path that would prepare the way of the Lord, so that the Lord might come into the hearts of those who loved him. That the Lord might come into the hearts of those who were waiting and expecting. Because Christ is our hope that leads to joy. He is the one who gives us the courage to let go. He is the one who gives us the will to give away and to live for more than just ourselves. He is the one who fights our battles and renews us in his love. He is the one who gives us strength from day to day and says, "Do not fear. I am in the midst of you." My brothers and sisters, Christ is our hope that leads to joy, so that in him we too might become vessels of joy in the lives of those around us. May our hearts be open wide to receive Christ anew this year. May he come and do a new thing in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. Through Christ, may we be set on fire with the Holy Spirit, who clears away what hinders us from living into the call to truly be children of God, so that we might strive to live lives that love mercy and that practices justice. For we know that the Lord has not nor will ever abandon us, but calls us to a new way of being in the world, a way in which we become vessels of joy for those that are hurting and oppressed and hungry and homeless and the stranger among us, so that they too may rejoice, and together we might experience the joy that comes through the Savior, who is our hope and our strength, our peace and our joy. Amen. Amen. Together let us pray. O holy God, we open wide our hearts. We know that indeed you are our joy and our strength, our hope and our peace. And we pray, O God, that you will do a new thing within us, that we, O Lord, in you and through you and by you and with you, might be truly your vessels of grace and mercy and justice in the lives of those around us and in the world that you love. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.